Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Larry Sedati, Vice President of Development and Operations for the Yogurtland franchise opportunity. And while there are tons of frozen dessert concepts on the market, Anaheim, California-based Yogurtland pioneered the customer-created frozen yogurt experience and developed a proprietary product. By putting the control in the customer's hands, Yogurtland has managed to grow to 120 units in 9 states, as well as Japan and Mexico, in less than 5 years. And that's coming up in segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the entrepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times, the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
It's been a nice week, Marty. Things are going well. How about you?
Good. Same here, Don. You know, it's hard to imagine that we're through March, you know, going into April tomorrow, and we're supposed to get hit with more snow today. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's almost like it's not fair with the kind of winter we had, but I can't believe the first 3 months of the year just basically over. It's
first
really,
quarter, right? I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The first quarter of Franchise Interviews, you know, and so far it's been an interesting year in franchising up to this point. Our last show, Don, we met with Robbie Witten, CEO and president of the Money Miser Franchise Opportunity. We also met with two of their franchisees, so we had a full pack show, Rick Snell and Hank Richards. And I thought it was an interesting concept. If you missed the show, a little on their background. Since founding their first store in 1980, Money Miser has broken into new ground in the pawn industry and developed a unique high-end store that offers quality new and used products at bargain prices. So it's an interesting concept. This was definitely a first for us. And I believe, I think Rob was mentioning, that they might even be the first Don to franchise this concept. It's an interesting show, wasn't it?
Right, yeah, it was interesting getting everybody's perspective, having two franchisees on as well as the franchisor. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting how he never felt that that was even a franchisable business up until
right
now. It's easily accessible to get information on the internet on what certain things are worth.
Right.
And that's the key, that
yeah,
someone doesn't have to be in the business 10 years. I guess there's a faster learning curve, and he feels it's more...
Mm-hmm.
What is it, more replicable, I guess they can
franchise
this type of business, and so someone can learn it
pretty
quickly and so forth. But, you know, people come in with all kinds of crazy things to pawn or sell, and I guess you have to, you know, you have to be able to know what you're doing to make money.
You do. If you ever have the chance, Don, watch this show. It's called Pawn Stars. I mean, I think it's really changed this whole industry because, I the perception of pawn stores – in the past, I think we're, you know, kind of like a grungy kind of place, you know what I mean? You'd be afraid
right
to walk in. And these places are very upscale, actually. You know, I think you'd be surprised when you walk in one. So these two gentlemen, Rick and Hank, they came from corporate America, which is kind of interesting, you know. So it's a lot different than what they were doing in the past. And as you we're talking to both of them, you know, you can hear how much they enjoy their lives now. You know, I think they truly enjoy their work, and they got into something that is definitely different. You know, they weren't into, you know, the whole food franchising thing, or, you know, they said flipping burgers or whatever it may be. You know, they wanted something different, and so this is good. I think this was a good match for them, you know, in getting into this type of
franchise. I guess they saw an opportunity to not only make money, but kind of be, you know, pioneers, I guess,
right,
being early franchisees to hopefully for them to have a large national system where they'll be one of, you know, a few of the original franchisees. I guess there's some, you know, I'm sure that had to factor into their motivation, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of advantages to getting into a franchise while they're young, you know. I mean, I've seen interviews with the first franchisee to, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's, you know, and those guys, I mean, who knew, you know? I mean, back then, Don, in the 50s, that McDonald's was going to become what it was, you know, or the same thing with Subway or KFC. Sometimes you just don't know. And I think the advantage of getting into a franchise system when they're young is you have that ability to talk to the founder of the company. You also have the ability, I think, to make a difference in the organization, you know?
Maybe you'll figure out a better way to do a certain system
or
process, which will be become part of their franchise approach and maybe something they'll do for the next 20 years, and it would have been your idea. But during these times, I know these guys, the main part is, hey, I think I can make some money with this type of business, and let's just go for it, and, you know, it would be interesting to have them on a couple years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we say, you know, we'll have them back, you know, as we watch these guys continue to grow, which I think they will. So kind of interesting. So what do we got going on in franchising? Some news in franchising, and I know we had a couple articles we needed to get to before we brought our guest in today.
Yeah, Marty, first, this weekend is the big International Franchise Expo.
That's right.
Down in D.C. down at the nation's capital.
Super Bowl of franchising is what they call it, Don.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the big shows throughout the year. I've been there, you know, for many years, over 100 franchise systems. I don't even know how many. It could even be up in the 150 range. And, you know, so people want to get information on it. They can go just Google International Franchise Expo to get the show times. But the franchisors will be exhibiting this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday tomorrow, the 1st through the 3rd. So hopefully they have a great show.
Absolutely.
Here's something, Marty, from Atlanta. Franchising could be job growth fuel, from AJC.com. And we think that's Atlanta Journal Courier.
Atlanta Journal, right.
by Jeffrey Rosenzweig. In real estate, the key factors are location, location, location. In discussions about the national, state, and local company, the focus now is jobs, jobs, jobs. As we look for ways to shift the recovery into higher gear, lawmakers, regulators, and business leaders can take a closer look at an American business model that shows job creation promise. And that's franchising. Franchising, including the indirect jobs it creates and its suppliers, currently accounts for roughly 1 in 8 jobs in America. So that's interesting, just
right.
Not the franchise businesses, but the businesses that rely, the suppliers and vendors who represent those franchises. But this unique business model, as American as baseball and Baskin-Robbins, can lead to the creation of millions of new U.S. jobs in the next years if we take steps to make sure it happens. From 2001 to 2005, franchise small businesses created jobs at a rate far outpacing the national average. Franchise employment now exceeds the total employment of such major industries as durables, manufacturing, finance and insurance, and real estate. So franchising has caught up to those industries, I guess.
That's amazing.
That's really coming on strong. The structured, scalable franchise model allows small business entrepreneurs, the key to job creation in this country, to grow jobs at an accelerated rate. For example, Decatur-based franchisee Aziz Hashim started with 15 employees in 1996. This year, he will employ nearly 1,500 people across several franchise brands. Hashim creates more than 30 jobs every time he opens a Popeyes restaurant. His employees include accounting, real estate, and IT professionals, in addition to restaurant floor staff. He says, I could never have had this success in life without franchising, who got his start mopping floors at Burger King while studying electrical engineering at University of California. Atlanta is a hub for franchising. Marty, we've talked about this. Brands such as Coca-Cola, Intercontinental, UPS, which owns the UPS store, Church's Chicken, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, Aaron's Leasing, Primrose Schools, Moe's Southwest Grill, and Carvel all have headquarters out of Atlanta.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the
It's a great
franchises.
Story. I mean, I love hearing those stories, Don, you know, of you know, somebody who, you know, started off just, you know, in a franchise, you know, like a Burger King franchise, and just mopping the floors. And look at this gentleman now, you know, where he's at. I mean,
15 employees in 96.
Powerful.
Yeah, 15 years later, he up to 1,500.
And that couldn't have happened.
People.
He said it without franchising. If there wasn't such a concept called franchising, he's saying that, you know, he wouldn't have had the success. So it's a very powerful quote.
By franchising, by definition, depends on the ability of individual entrepreneurs to access credit. Recently, 55% of members of the IFA stated that they were moderately or significantly impacted by the lack of credit access, putting a chokehold on their ability to grow their business. Sad. It's been going on 2 years, not much of a change. And how many times have you and I have read articles or brought up, and I'm directly affected because I've been in the industry 11 years, and I've seen it firsthand how tough it is for financing. The UPS store, with about 4,300 units in the U.S., added more than 500 units in 2004. Last year, that number dropped to 83. So the UPS store, which used to be mailboxes, et cetera, they have over 4,000 units now. In 2004, they added 500 new stores. That was in 2004. So bring us up to 2010, only 83. And many of those people couldn't get financing. While franchisors and franchisees are encouraged by stronger overall economic outlook for this year, lack of credit flow is holding back a broader recovery. While the UPS store, for example, wants to increase growth by 50% over last year, several of the larger SBA lenders are no longer offering financing to our network because of the hoops they have to jump through to offer the smaller loans that our franchisees require. Isn't that just ridiculous?
That's amazing.
Meanwhile, many lenders are faced with sharp declines in the value of borrowers' collateral, new regulations, and high unemployment rates, in addition to a battered public image that increases aversion to risk. Franchising, if properly financed, can be a catalyst to turn the U.S. economy, economic recovery into a jobs recovery, says IFA President and CEO Steve Caldera. With the summit as a high-profile launch, he says he has strategically and correctly made expanding credit flow the organization's chief priority. No single business model is the answer to our long-term economic challenges, but all of us, including taxpayers and businesses, financial and policy leaders, have a stake in giving entrepreneurs the tools they need to grow and create jobs. If people understood the true power of franchising, says Popeye's franchisee Hashim, we as a country would rely on it to spread the American dream, he says.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, this guy should be the spokesperson for franchising, shouldn't he, Don? You know, I mean, because, as you said, I don't think people realize the magnitude or the impact that franchising has had on our country. You know, I think you used the numbers, what was it, 1 out of 8 jobs are acquired or impacted by franchising. Whether it's not even the franchise directly, but the suppliers and people like that, you know.
Right.
So, absolutely. I mean, this
the
is
the IFA
that,
president
that
also said, he goes, I will present estimates that if credit conditions are favorable, the franchise model based on its previous accelerated rates of job creation could potentially create millions of new jobs by 2017. So, you know, it just that's a whole other, you know, of course, conversation or show
right.
to really get into the details of what the problem is with lending right now. It's
right.
You know, I can list about 10 different things, but that's still a major problem. You know that's why more franchisors have grown from within. They're already franchisees
right.
who own a few units, adding more. So it's kind of the rich getting richer, and the person who's been downsized or out of work, he's looking to get his foot in the door, and he has good credit and good track record, has some money to put in or some retirement money that can be used, but can't get the financing, can't get his foot
yeah.
in the door. You know, so all these people are either staying out of work or they have to take some job mm-hmm. for less money that they don't like. And so, you know, this is really the kind of the growth period now for entrepreneurship and people starting their own job because maybe they have no other choice. What's that, forced entrepreneurship,
right.
which I came up with that expression, by the way, just for the record, for people listening.
I'm gonna copyright that pretty soon, by the way. So every time we use it, I'm going to have to get paid, or you'll have to get paid, but we'll have
watch,
to
watch, you're
going to
go ahead
it,
and
you know?
You're
going to
go and
well,
file it.
I think we have enough air time to show that you're the one who came up with it. So
you're
going to
file
know,
like a service mark.
Yeah, I don't think you'll hold in court, you know, that I own it, so... You know, but it's amazing, Don, that we're still having this conversation, you know, and I've mentioned this to you on several occasions that I go back and I listen to our older shows from time to time, you know, just so I don't forget and I keep up to date as far as, you know, what's going on, who we've had on the show and things like that. It's amazing to go back to 2 years ago and it still seems like it's a similar conversation as to what's going on with financing and things like that, you know. And I had no idea, I guess you probably had no idea or hoped anyway that it really wouldn't be going on this long, you know? It just
right.
seems like, when, you know, do we get out of this thing? It really is crazy. I had the theory, and it wasn't my theory, by the way. I kind of stole it off of, I can't remember who it was. But if every franchise in the United States gave one away for free, you know, what would that do to the economy? You know, if you think about it, 2,500 systems, and everyone gave a franchise away for free.
Yeah, it's really over 3,000, but you're right. A lot of those
yeah.
are newer, maybe can't afford to do it. But if even 2,000 franchise systems just gave away one franchise for free and kind of put that person in business,
right.
I mean, that's 2,000 more stores out there. And wonder what the average employees is per location, probably like if you had to average it out, I mean, many franchises, you're mm-hmm. self-employed, you have one employee, but a lot of places, like a big restaurant, has like 30. So I'd have to think that a minimum of like 5, and right there, that's 10,000 more people back to work. And but not only that, you know, the suppliers and vendors who can supply
right.
their services and goods to that franchise. Yeah,
yeah,
it's an interesting thought. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is interesting. Maybe we should go forward with it. I know you and I have spoken about it from time to time. You know, I think we'd have to go on an Oprah Winfrey or Today Show kind of thing, you know, and reach out
right.
to the franchise community. I'm sure we'd get some pretty nasty comments from some people saying, "Give it, you know, we want you to give one away for free." You know, you can only imagine some of the responses that would come back. You know, but if you can get everyone to agree, you know, all 2,000. Or, as you said, 3,000 systems out there. It's amazing that we even use that number today, isn't it? I mean, was it 3,000 systems?
Yeah, it's a heck of a lot of
really
choices.
Incredible.
It's kind of getting to be overwhelming, and that's not going to stop, especially when the economy improves. I mean, we're probably talking about 4,000 different types of franchises. I mean,
where do you begin?
You know, each month I probably, you know, speak or hear at least 5
right.
or 10 people who are thinking of franchising their concept, and
mm-hmm.
so you know, so that's just going to keep happening. But you wonder where it could end. Well, like, you know, Money
right.
Miser from last week. I mean, that became a franchise. I guess eventually, probably every single industry there is in business, if not already, will eventually be franchised.
Right. No, I agree. Now, should it be franchised? I guess that's another question, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, there probably are certain businesses that should not franchise their concept. You know, again, I mean, it's really the simplicity. Can you were saying it earlier on, can you duplicate the system? You know, and if
right.
you can duplicate it in a fairly easy manner, then it's franchisable. But not all concepts should be franchised, that's for sure. So, yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting topic for discussion. We'll have to do that one on another show. So why don't we do this, Don? I see your guest Larry has called in. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Good job, Don. Coming up in segment two, they've grown to 120 units in 9 states, as well as Japan and Mexico, in less than 5 years. We're meeting with Larry Sedati, Vice President of Development and Operations of the Yogurtland Franchise Opportunity. Coming up.
Big Mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival, as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest-growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, big mouth advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Larry Sedati, Vice President of Development and Operations for the Yogurtland franchise opportunity. While there's tons of frozen dessert concepts on the market, Yogurtland has pioneered the customer-created frozen yogurt experience and developed a proprietary product. Hey, Larry, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Larry. Thank you. Larry, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Larry.
Thanks for coming on, Larry. We're excited to hear about Yogurtland's growth and your role. You promise us a good show today?
I will try to deliver.
Well, I'd like to ask, where are you calling from? Are you on the West Coast today, Larry?
I'm calling from Southern California.
You are.
Southern
California.
Okay. Anaheim,
it.
California, right across the street from where the Angels play.
Ah, beautiful. Nice. I know you have an interesting background, Larry. You want to tell our guests what you were doing, our listeners, what you were doing before joining Yogurtland?
Sure. I started a concept in 1995 called Juice It Up. Grew that concept to about 165 stores over a 13-year period. And then after 13 years left and went to Mrs. Fields and TCBY for a short year and a half and before joining Yogurtland.
Wow.
A lot of franchising experience there.
Yeah, absolutely important.
It's a great world. The world of franchising is really a great, great world.
Yeah,
Juice It Up. Go ahead, Marty.
Oh, good. I was saying earlier, Larry, I don't know how much you heard, if you heard segment one, but we were talking about this one gentleman, Larry, who basically started mopping the floors of, I think it was a Burger King franchise, wasn't it, Don? And now today he's in charge of, what is it like, is it 1,500 employees? It's amazing, Larry, you know, the magnitude of, you know, franchising. And he said that only could have been done through franchising, you know, which is, I guess, it's one of the reasons, you know, you appreciate it, why Don and I appreciate it. So, absolutely. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it's, you know, gives people a higher chance of approval. And in his case, he probably liked that there was a set system. And faster way to be profitable, and he can grow to multiple stores. And I mean, if he would have just started up his location, who knows if that first one or two even survives. But I was going to mention before we juice it up,
exactly.
I don't know the details of that, Larry, but it seems like you probably had a lot of low-calorie, healthy-type drinks. And then you went to Mrs. Fields with those cookies, just the opposite, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It went from health to indulgence.
Yeah. So you've had to check your cholesterol.
I felt I needed to branch out a little bit and try something different. And, you know, 13 years is a long run. And had a lot of success, and it was a fun experience. And then I went back to health when I found Yogurtland.
Came back full circle. And I'm in the world of financing, Larry, and I mean, there's really like a boom going on in the industry you're in now, and I hear a lot of great things about Yogurtland really being one of the leaders and innovators of the industry. Our firm, it works nationally, and we get calls, and we've spoken to people. So maybe, describe the history of Yogurtland and tell us a little bit about why things are going so well right now.
Well, Yogurtland was founded in 2006 by Philip Chang, who is our CEO and president. And the concept almost started off as an accident. He had another concept and wanted to supplement the other concept. So he did a lot of research on the yogurt industry, and rather than give you more of the same, which would be some of what was starting to spring up, typical traditional counter service, he decided to try a different platform, which was a self-serve model. And in doing so, he augmented his existing business and supplemented it with this yogurt that ended up overtaking the other business. So after about a year of doing this, he opened one location in Irvine, California, which absolutely blew up immediately. And by the second month, he was doing almost $250,000 in sales per month.
Wow.
Selling one product, yogurt. So it that spawned a lot of excitement and created a lot of buzz, and Yogurtland was, for all intents and purposes, born. And since that point, we have grown tremendously. In 2007, we had 3 stores. In 2008, we had 28. 2009, we almost tripled. We jumped to 64 stores, 118 in 2010, and through March 30th of this year, we're at 130 stores, and should be at 200 by the end of this year.
Wow!
So
that's
he created an experience. He really created an experience for the customer, and plus go along with a high quality product.
Exactly.
Try doing something a little different. Yeah.
Exactly. And one of the key things with, especially in the food industry, is you've got to have that value proposition and you've got to have a quality product. But one of the missing ingredients that tends to be on the sidelines a lot is creating that unique customer experience and interaction and control and the entertainment aspect of the concept. And that's where the self-serve feature comes in. Customers have complete control, freedom of choice. They can serve themselves as much as they want, as little as they want, and whatever they want. And that has just been a formula for success in this concept and in this industry, as a matter of fact.
I think it's a feel-good kind of franchise, too, Larry. I mean, Don and I always talk about this as being like a feel-good kind of business. In other words, the customers are really eating something healthy, and it's kind of like a family experience. It's fun, you know what I mean? So you're kind of like putting a smile on your customer's face, It's not like where you're like in the auto industry, and you have to sell someone a new transmission and they're upset about that, It really is one of those feel-good kind of businesses, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This format has basically been driven by a young demographic, and the family experience is not only is it a great experience for families and kids just love this, but at the end of the transaction, you're not breaking the bank.
Right.
In fact, at our price point, what we're able to do because of our buying power, you get a family of four in and out of there for $10 to $12. And
that's amazing.
You know, compared to our competitors or to other dessert or treat concepts, that's impossible to do.
Yeah, and that helps in today's economy as well, you know, when people are looking
Absolutely.
For that kind of, you know, experience where you don't have to spend a fortune, of course, you know.
Well,
yeah,
if you notice the time frame, we grew up in the recession. And success that we've had, all we've known since this concept was basically founded, has been a recessionary atmosphere and environment. So we haven't even seen what this concept is capable of in a thriving economy.
That's true.
You know, Larry, I guess, emphasis on health and, you know, a lot of information and commercials about how healthy yogurt is. I mean, I guess that's helped yogurt land as well. I mean, I take probiotics. I know that is that's something interesting going on. I mean, what percentage of customers you feel eat yogurt because of is it more taste or more just possibly the health aspect of it?
I think with Yogurtland, surprisingly, the majority of them, the concept is driven by the healthy aspect of it, but at the end of the day, it's about taste and the flavor profile, and does this have an appeal? Because you can have the healthiest thing in the world, but if it tastes bad, people aren't going to come. So it's driven by taste, and I'd say a large percentage of our customers, this replaces a fatty or high-calorie dessert. And on top of that, you're getting something that not just replacing it, but actually tastes as good, if not better, than what you would get in ice cream. And so you're getting a good treat or a nice snack or dessert, and you're not having that fat count and that high calorie count that you would normally get from satisfying that craving.
Right.
And that's what drives this thing.
Maybe talk a bit more, Larry, about, you know, for people listening, thinking of opening up their own yogurt land, maybe talk a bit more specifically about the franchise system. And it seems like it's a relatively simple business model, which is very attractive to someone investing. Maybe talk about some of the, you know, selling points of someone owning this type of business.
Well, the most impressive thing about the Yogurtland system is we have an extremely high average unit volume. And this business model... Also, there's three, what I call the big three when it comes to expenses. You have two expenses, your food costs and your labor, and then you have your rent. Based on the average unit volumes that we do, rent almost becomes a non-issue because our percentage of rents, where rent to sales ratio is extremely low by industry standards. Then when you get to the labor piece of this, because it's a self-serve model, the labor variable almost becomes a fixed cost, because you would have the same labor or staffing for a store doing one volume versus twice the volume. So your number becomes almost fixed. So our labor number is very, very low. And our costs are a little bit higher because of our price point, which is we try to keep the price point well below the competition, because at the end of the day, everything is driven by price anyways. But as far as a model, you know, Yogurtland is the only guy or the only concept out there that actually formulates every one of its own formulas. Our formulas are completely proprietary to us. So those frozen yogurt flavors that you get out there, most of the industry buys from one or two sources. We are creating our own. That's what makes us unique, and that's what makes the flavors unique. We have our own R&D department in-house. We have a product development team in-house that's one of the best in the nation, and they've got their finger on the pulse of taste buds all over the country, and we just have a product that nobody can compete with as far as flavor and taste. And that's what has made this and created so much success in such a short period of time. We have some very prominent franchisees that are big developers in other concepts that have jumped over to Yogurtland. We even have multi-billion dollar corporations that are franchisees of Yogurtland, all the way down to the engineer that decided he no longer wanted to be part of the corporate America and wanted to start his own thing and go the entrepreneur route. He's part of our system. The stay-at-home mom that raised her kids and now she's ready to get back into the workforce, she's part of our system. So we have a wide range of franchisees and franchisee types with different backgrounds and diverse cultural backgrounds. And it's just a really great mix. And at the end of all this, we have an incredible business model that just, it's not overly difficult to run, and it's been very successful at the store level all across the country.
It's a good thing I asked that question, right?
Yeah. I hope so. Did it sound good
location,
coming out?
Larry?
Yeah, it was great. Definitely great answer.
Did you want to talk about the location a bit, Larry? I mean, as far as like how much space is required?
Typically, our footprint has been about 1,500 square feet, but we're taking it down a little bit.
Okay.
I like to minimize rent as much as possible.
Right.
And I think that ultimately the best size for this concept is about 1,200 feet.
Okay.
And we're maximizing our efficiencies, and we have a really good team in-house, a design and construction team that is just great about putting these things together and guiding franchisees down the path of getting them from A to Z as far as getting their stores open. And what we've asked them to do is try to reduce the footprint a little bit and put us in spaces that are more traditionally set up, because most landlords do 60 by 20 boxes in
right.
the spaces that we look at. And so we want to go to a more efficient footprint. But in some cases, we still have stores out there that are 1,500 to 2,000 feet as well. That some of these stores have to be able to accommodate anywhere from 75 to 100 customers at a time. So
Wow. You
have to have a store that's big enough and efficient enough to get through that in a very quick period of time.
That's something. What's the experience been like? And I see you guys are in, was it Japan and was it Mexico? Larry,
yeah.
I mean, that's interesting. So you guys are international now, I guess you could say.
Yes.
That must
yes.
be interesting for you as well, huh?
Yes. Just first of this week, we opened our 13th store in Mexico. And
Wow. We've
got 3 stores in Japan right now, and we've got a number of other international deals that we're in negotiations with.
Mm.
We have a lot of room to grow domestically. Obviously, we consider the international as icing on the cake, but
yes.
our main focus is domestic, and if we get the right partner internationally, then we would consider entering another country. But for the most part, our main focus is domestic.
Mm, that's interesting. A tough question, Larry, is what's your favorite flavor? any combinations
you know,
that you come up with over time?
It currently is a limited time flavor, which means it'll be out for 6 weeks. And I'm begging them not to pull it back. But I like, it's called Devil's Food Chocolate Cupcake Brownie Batter. And I mix that with coconut. And then I top it off with almonds and strawberries and mangoes.
Wow.
And it's just out of this world.
That's a whole meal.
Yeah, that's fantastic, though. I know, it is. And again, it's the whole experience of just creating your own yogurt is really, it's like, as you say, Larry, it's fun, whether you're an adult or you're a kid, you know.
That type of stuff is fun. I'm from Central Jersey, and Marty's in PA, but we went to Hershey Park this summer with a few other families, and we went, and the kids got to make their own candy bar. And you get to mix in different stuff with the chocolate, and then they, you know, you have your huge bar, and they put it in, and you get to pick out your cover for the candy bar, and it goes in, you know, it's the whole, the chocolate's great, but the whole experience that you've done it and it's your own, that's the big selling piece. Imagine some of that's true with Yogurtland.
Well, I have good news for you. We're coming to Central Jersey.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, we've got one in a shopping center called Hamilton Plaza, and we're also going to Denville.
Okay, that's near Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, Larry. I mean, I'm familiar with Yogurtland. You know, I know Don, of course, is familiar with Yogurtland, but, I mean, you know, we don't have one around here yet. I'm familiar with you guys, you know. I mean, so you've done a good job with brand recognition already. You know, it's amazing that there's none even here in this part of Pennsylvania, yet I know who you guys are, you know, so I think that says a lot, you know, about what you guys are doing, you know, so I won't be surprised to see you guys in this part of the country, of Pennsylvania anyway, in the near future.
We're pushing there. That's the next frontier for us.
That's fantastic. Well, my wife will be excited about that, so that's great. We have to take a quick break, Larry. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Sure.
That's great. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the friendship to go as a long one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Larry Sedati of the Yogurtland Franchise Opportunity. And, Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Larry, you mentioned before you had a pretty diverse group of, franchisees that are coming on board and investing. Are there certain types of characteristics you want to see in all of them? or for future investors?
We like to see that they've got a good, strong, solid business background, a strong business acumen. We obviously would love to have more people from the food service industry, but we do realize that's a very narrow market. So we just look for people with business experience who, and then when we interview them, that they have a passion for what they're, for not only Yogurtland, but getting into a business. We try to educate them on the challenges and the benefits and the good, bad, and the ugly of getting into a franchise business as well as getting into Yogurtland, and try to make sure that they're completely on board and understand completely what they're getting into. We just want them to be fully engaged and be part of the business. And
right.
we when we go through our interview process and our evaluation, we're hoping that we can, that's the type of person that we're getting. It's a very selective process. It's one that, you know, we look at this as a fact, as a, from a premise that we want Yogurtland ambassadors throughout the country, and that takes a certain type of person. And even though we know we have a strong business model and the majority of our current franchisees want second and third stores, so we know we turn these guys into multi-unit guys, we want to make sure that that's the path that they want to be on.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
What is the training like for new franchisees?
The training is about a 7 to 10 day period. We have them here in our office for 1 day, actually 2 days, one, the first day of training and the last day of training, and then they spend a week in one of our corporate stores with one of our corporate trainers, and they're basically getting the real picture. They're doing everything from soup to nails, you know, from A to Z as far as this business, and they learn it. And that's part one. Part two is when they, once we get through the startup process and they're ready to open their store, we have somebody in their store with them for the first 5 to 6 days of their opening, helping them get through all the glitches that might come up,
right,
and helping them train their staff.
Okay.
What's a typical day like, Larry, for a franchisee? I mean, from like the moment they open up the store to, I guess, like when they go home?
A lot of our franchisees are on vacation. I think a typical day would be calling the store and seeing how they're doing.
Okay.
That's the old franchisees. The new franchisees, the day starts out with about an hour and a half before the store is ready to open. You're prepping for the opening, cutting up fruit, preparing your topping bar, priming the yogurt machines, making sure that they're ready to go, just getting the store ready. And then once you open, the day, the yogurt business is a heavy nighttime traffic business, so you
right.
basically have a build-up about 40 to 50% of your, about 40% of your business will be from about 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then the onslaught comes, and then it's absolute chaos.
Which is a good problem to have.
It's a great problem.
So you're
essentially. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you've been in franchising such a long time, Larry, and the majority of our listeners are, I guess we call them aspiring franchipreneurs. You know, they have it in their minds that they're interested in buying a franchise. What advice would you give to them in their quest for buying a franchise?
Do your homework. As much as you like a brand, ask tough questions about what is wrong, as much as you're going to ask about what is right.
Right.
everybody's going to show you their best side. As you said, I've been at this a long time, and I like to show you our not-so-good side as well.
Right.
Because any business you get into is tough and takes a lot of commitment and a lot of your attention, especially in year one. And we've created something that I think is extremely unique and a business model like I've never seen, because it's been so successful and it has been such a strong model. But franchisees really got to talk to other franchisees in these systems. They've got to get honest input and ask tough questions of the franchisors. And visiting the franchisor, visiting their stores, talk to customers if you can. I mean, just be very thorough in what you decide, because it is in most cases, it's a long-term commitment, and you want to make sure that the marriage is right.
Absolutely.
Great advice. You talked about the domestic growth, Larry. What else is in the plans for Yogurtland?
We are doing a number of things to improve our product line. We're always trying to improve this business, make it more cost-effective, more efficient. The growth part, there's so much excitement and buzz around this brand that, you know, there's not a ton of work on the development side except for the building stores and getting them built as quickly as possible and the real estate part of it and identifying locations and making sure we're in the right spots. So most of this is continuing to shore up this business and make it better and better. I have an operations and a development team that work on the here and now, and I'm looking at 3 to 5 years from now, making sure that we are still going to be a very strong and sustainable brand. And so I'm looking for ways to drive costs down, leverage our buying power, leverage our marketing power, and find ways to make this product just even better than it already is. And that's what everyone is charged with doing, is continuing to improve and continuing to get better and understanding that even though we're perceived as the industry leader, we're nothing yet. We're way too young to be looked at as any kind of leader, and we need to keep getting better and better and strengthening our position.
That's great. What's the best way, Larry, for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites they can go to, any numbers or email addresses?
Our phone number is 714-939-7737, and
okay.
Our email address is Yogurtland, but it's yogurt-land.com.
Okay, perfect. I want to thank you again, Larry. You've been a fantastic guest, and Don and I would love to have you back as you guys continue to grow. And we look forward to you coming to Pennsylvania and also New Jersey soon.
We look forward to it also, and I thank you guys so much for allowing me the time and for doing what you're doing.
No problem.
It's our pleasure,
great job.
Larry. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, definitely enjoyed it. Larry answered all the questions well, and I mean, there's no doubt this franchise is going to, I mean, eventually be the leader from what I hear. They got Larry behind them, and going well, over 100 units so far. They're already international. They have their own product, which is impressive.
Yeah, the growth is amazing, isn't it? And you're right.
Right.
And it's going to continue to grow, and they're just going to be able to leverage even more, you know, so more buying power. And I can't wait till they come out here. So we'll have to wait, though. All right, so good job on segment one today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, Franchise World Radio, and we have another great show next week, Don, don't we?
Looking forward to it.
Take care, Don. Thanks, everyone, for listening.